running free all day long.
This award-winning podcast is presented by my friends at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years. That's almost as long as I've been walking terra firma over there at the Kemper. Feel free to throw my name around there and get a discount. And shop now at BillCurryFord.com.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And remember, Black Friday, it has already started at BillCurryFord.com. Tremendous deals there. They run through the end of the month. Get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, they have been such a great host of the Ira Kaufman World Tour. Every time the Bucks are on the road, Ira is at a Buffalo Wild Wings location, hanging out with you, watching the game, eating, having a great time. And his new thing, he ends every game with a vodka and cranberry, so you can hang out even a little bit longer with him. The Bucks are home the next two Sundays, but the action and the fun at Buffalo Wild Wings gets going again in St. Petersburg, Tyrone Boulevard location, Sunday, November 24th. The details are at joebucksfan.com. Click on Watch Parties. And at buffalowildwings.com, you can find your nearest location to watch every game. Great place to go. Our thanks to Pin Chasers as well. We'll talk more about them later. And here is the Sage alongside Lee DeCamper.
It's the custodian of Canton. It's the Wizard of Whoopi. It's none other than Ira Kaufman. Ira, we're just coming off watching yet another Bucks loss. And your thoughts?
My heart bleeds for Buck fans. I mean, this is going to be 12 years, Lee. Now, they had a 14-year stretch when Doug Williams put the curse on them. Well, I don't see any curse in this one, you know, unless Chucky put it on, you know.
Yeah, 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 that's a good point.
12 years is an eternity.
In the NFL.
You know, they're starting to approach the 14-year. What are they going to do? Beat it right now as we speak. And they ain't making the playoffs at 2-6, so no. Let's not even think about that. You got a 14-year drought and a 12-year drought. Lee, they've only been around 43 years. Those are two major droughts. In between, you know, except for a 5-year stretch, there hasn't been much to talk about. They have the worst record of any franchise in NFL history, Lee.
North America,
see? Even better.
Tom Bassinger put that out on Twitter. As far as team histories, win-loss record in their team history, Bucks have the worst in North America.
Look, we don't want to get too many people depressed here. I don't want people driving off the road at the Audubon. That's you, Pete, ukulele.
Yeah, Pete.
Pete, and thanks for being a listener. Having said that, Lee, I can't smack the Bucks around for their performance Sunday in Seattle. I thought as a team, and I know you're going to pick on one facet, and rightfully so, as a team, they played a good football game.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, the secretary is so lousy that the quarterback, I don't care who the quarterback is, Jameis, Andy Dalton, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I don't care who you put there at quarterback. The guy has to play perfect ball. Perfect. Like mistake-free for the team to have a chance to win. Jameis made one mistake, and as you pointed out before we were recording this, you're not even sure it was his mistake. The Bucks go to overtime, and they lose. The secondary is just, you know, and I was also telling you this before we started recording this podcast. The last time the Bucks had a decent record was 2016.
They had that five-game winning streak.
Yeah, five-game winning streak. They lost the tiebreaker for a playoff berth. And the secondary was okay. It was like 17th, 18th.
Okay. If I remember right, Lee, the five-game winning streak was propelled by good defense.
Yes. Yes, it was. All of a sudden, ever since then, people can't wait to throw Jameis off the bus. But at the same time, the secondary gets worse and worse and worse. And it was awful 2 years ago. It was horrible last year. And this year, my vocabulary is like yours. I can't come up with any more words, any more adjectives.
Lee, you know my feelings about Winston and how ultimately you have to win.
Mm-hmm.
But a game like a Sunday supports your argument. It's a very graphic example because Winston played a very good mm-hmm. football game. Mm-hmm. Now, is he as good as Russell Wilson? Of course not. Wilson was fabulous. He's at the peak of his powers. People are saying, Ira, what are you doing? Well, you love this guy? He might be the best player in football this year. He might be. He's the MVP front runner.
I was
going to
say that. He's certainly in the running for MVP. No question about it.
But Winston played a very good game. The Bucks had 29 first downs, Lee. You got to win the game.
Wow.
You got to win the game.
You should be. You know, you should be winning the game with
They made their third downs. They were good in the red zone. They did a lot of good things, especially on offense. Evans was fantastic for the second week in a row. Ronald Jones looks good.
And he won a starting job. You know, Arian said he needs to start.
Good for him.
Where was this, a month ago? I'm not sure. But at any rate, finally, Arians came to his senses about their left.
You're not happy with the status quo of this secondary, and you thought at least during the bye week, maybe, when they got a chance to reflect, they could have went out and got some kind of a veteran to improve.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jason Light a lot. And maybe it skews my view. Maybe I shouldn't like him so much. Has he made mistakes? No question about it. He'll be the first one to tell you he's made mistakes. I don't know if it was his call. I don't know if it was Arian's call. I don't know if it was a Glazer call. And I know the Glazer family doesn't like to think that they meddle, so I apologize. I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't know whose call it was, but the Bucks, as to use your phrase, status quo. If they didn't know they needed help in a secondary, there's bigger problems with this organization than what any of us thought about. Why they didn't go out and get somebody. And I'm not talking about a Pro Bowler. Yeah, Marcus Peters could have been had
for a
sixth
round.
You're
not talking about Patrick Peterson.
No. Just a competent, for no other reason but depth. Because you got young guys, all still learning. I'm just going to guess, Ivory, there's 32 teams. There's minimum four defensive backs on the field. I'm going to guess.
Plus backups.
Well, I'm just talking about guys on the field, starters. That's what I was talking about. Go out and get a starter. Doesn't have to be an all-pro or a stud or a future Hall of Famer. Just someone that was competent. I'm going to guess there was 70 defensive backs the Bucks could have, if the price was right, could have got him. But Marcus Peters, not that I'm big Marcus Peters fans.
He's a gambler.
He's a gambler, but you
can't. But he makes plays, too.
Yeah, you can't tell me he would have struggled like Jamel Dean did the other day. And he was had for, what, a sixth-round pick? And I know he's a knucklehead. I get that.
You hear this a lot. It's being written about a lot. And I'm going to say it for Buck Nation, and I think you're going to agree with me. The line you hear all the time that I am tired of hearing, and if I'm tired of it, you can imagine what Javier's thinking and Pete Ukulele. And
Port Richie Lou.
And Port Richie Lou. Here's the line. We got a young team. They need more experience. I've been hearing that for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think you beat your chest and be proud that you're the second youngest team in football. I don't think that's great. If you're not winning.
Did they not have a young team 3 years ago? Yet they
of course.
Went and got Brent Grimes. That didn't stop them from getting Brent Grimes. And Brian Grimes for a couple of years there was pretty good. Now, he was not motivated to play last year. When he was motivated to play his last game, he knew that was probably his last game. He had a very good game. He didn't want to go out like a bum.
I'm going to say it all in one sentence. This sums up the Bucs' secondary situation as well as you can do it in one sentence. You ready? I'm ready to see Ryan Smith. How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
And Arians will
And I've never been a Ryan Smith fan, but give him a chance.
Yeah, that's how it is right now. Arians was asked about Ryan Smith, and he
didn't say anything positive about him.
Well, he sort of said, well, maybe we'll try him out at nickel. The poor guy, he's a safety, he's a corner, he's a safety, now he's a nickel. Oh, my gosh, he's going to need therapy, I think, before it's all over with Ira. But what frustrates me about the secondary and why the Bucks did not address it, even at the trade deadline, and I think this is a big reason why Cutter is no longer here. No one expected the Falcons to play like garbage last year and the Panthers. So there was a clear path to make a run for a wild card berth. You had the same thing this year. The Falcons, the Bucks aren't, believe it or not, Bucks fans, Bucks are not going to be the last place team in the division.
You're
it's going to be the Falcons.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And the Panthers are beatable, although they've been playing better lately.
They're beatable.
So I don't think anybody expected a path to make a wild card. Now, no one, I don't think, dreamed that the Bucks could overcome the Saints. That's a little bit of pie in the sky kind of stuff. But there was a path there for a wild card run. And the Bucks just sat there and twiddled their thumbs and played Madden for
Lee,
all I know.
Lee, I got another name for you. I don't understand what happened. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe you can shed a little light on it. Where's Mike Edwards? Is he hurt? Where is this guy?
Apparently he can't tackle.
I thought they loved him.
All they loved
now,
him.
Now he's had some tackling issues. Yeah, no question. I thought they loved him in training camp.
You know what? They said a lot of things in training camp, but now it stinks out loud, doesn't it? Yeah, they loved him in training camp, but you know, Arians was asked Monday about what about Edwards? And Arians came right out and said he's having tackling issues. He didn't say so, but you could do the math. That's probably why he's not in there. He let up a big run Sunday because he didn't wrap up. He let out a big run.
I thought he was going to be a factor.
Yeah,
this year.
Early in the season, he didn't have any tackling issues. As a matter of fact, Brian Baldinger of NFL Network was lauding him on Twitter, like, this guy's going to be a stud. Look how he can tackle. But like I said, you and I, Ira, and virtually every Bucs fan out there saw that the secondary needed help. And the powers that be at One Buck Palace, whomever that may be, thought otherwise.
I know this is crazy, but I'll say it anyway. The problem could be even worse than we're thinking because of this. Imagine if they were lousy on run defense, then you'd say, well, team's got you off balance. It's third and two. It's second and three. You don't know what the heck's going on. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Well, teams are getting 70 yards rushing a game against this team. You would think that would help your pass defense immensely.
Yeah.
And instead, they're a sieve.
Everything about the defense you have to love except for one area. Like you just talked about, they have to be elite run defense. 73 yards a game they're giving up. Elite.
And they played a lot of good backs.
Yes.
Good backs.
Oh, my gosh, it was a murderer's row of running backs. And JPP is playing better than I ever dreamt. But there was part of me thinking, okay, I've got the broken neck. This guy's a freak of nature.
And I like the way Vita Vea is playing. I think he's playing well.
With JPP in the lineup, yeah, and Vita's playing well. Don't get me wrong. With JPP has made this pass rush ferocious. They've got a great pass rush. When's the last time we talked about that?
They had 11 years. Hits on Sunday.
Yeah,
11.
It's been years since we talked about that. They have an elite run defense. So they know teams are going to pass on them, and still they can't stop. They know it's coming, it's a lost cause.
Do you think Bowles is going to spend this week or a good part of it reconsidering the scheme in terms of man coverage? He doesn't have the personnel. He doesn't have the talent. And all we've heard about Bowles since he got here, he puts his guys in the best position. He'll build the scheme around the talent. Lee, the man coverage isn't working. It's not working.
Well,
they're blitz happy and they're playing man.
You're
it's
correct.
Not working.
What I don't know, and this is what these coaches are paid big money for, what I don't know is, are these guys just that bad? They very well could be just that bad that doesn't matter what coverage they play, they're going to get roasted.
Now, you know, if they play soft zone, you and I are going to roast them again. So it's a tough call there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but the facts are they're giving up way too many points.
Oh,
way too many points.
Just think, Ira, if the secondary was just average, this team's still in a playoff hunt, very much so. This secondary has Pearl Harbored this team this year. It really has.
And I like Kevin Ross as a cornerbacks coach, but I'll tell you what, he's not developing anybody.
Well, that might be one issue. Another issue just might be, like I referenced earlier, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what? I'm not paid seven figures to figure out what this guy can do best, zone, man, what have you, nickel, corner, safety, I don't know. But another guy, and you and I, he's both on our radars, that the guy was obviously available for a trade because he got traded. And this guy might be one of the linchpins of one of the biggest turnarounds we've seen this season. A guy by the name of Minkah Fitzpatrick. Irons love the safeties. This guy could have been had for a first round. He's going crazy now with Pittsburgh. He really is.
They didn't even have him when the season started. They went out and got him.
What, third week of the season, was it?
Yeah, he's played like six games.
Yeah.
And they started 1-4, and now they're 4-4.
You know what? Ryan Clark.
Yeah, ESPN, Ryan Clark.
He used to play, he was a cornerback for the Steelers. He went on Twitter today, and he said, I've always liked Mike Tomlin, but if he gets this guy into playoff contention with the way they started and without their starting quarterback, this is his best job.
Well,
coaching.
Don't get me started on Tomlin, because Mad Dog kills me every week. Tomlin's a good football coach.
Yeah.
He's never had a losing season, and he may not have one this year. Started 1-4, people burying the Steelers. Now, you know, I'm not saying he's going to make the playoffs, but he's like a game out of the wild card.
Yeah.
And they're playing a lot better, and Fitzpatrick's a big part of it.
Yes.
He's got four picks. The Bucs as a team might get 10 on the season. I mean, what's going on here?
And by the way, people say, oh, you got to give up a first-round pick for Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
You and I talked about this earlier. If, hypothetically, let's say it was fantasy football, and Minkah Fitzpatrick re-entered the 2020 draft, no-brainer he's a first-round pick. No-brainer.
He's a known quantity now in the NFL.
Yes, he's known. That's it. That's why I wanted the Bucs to go get somebody that already had proven they could play in the league. And Minkah has proven he could play in
and
the league.
And, Lee, I said, and let's see if you remember it, but I said it, you know, 6 weeks ago, when the Dolphins made that trade. Now, look, they're stockpiling all these draft picks, and I understand that to a point. But Lee, I came on this podcast and I sat across from you and I said, Lee, I do not understand why the Dolphins got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick. He's 22 years old and he's a good football player. Isn't that what you want to, as part of your rebuilding plan? I understand, you know, you trade off a veteran, you get the pick or whatever. Minka Fitzpatrick made no sense for a team that's rebuilding. I don't understand that.
I agree with you. The only thing I can think of, maybe he rubbed Brandon Flores.
You know what? I think he asked to get out of Miami. I heard that. He looked at it and said, we're going 1-15. I don't want to be any part of it. Mm. So that doesn't mean you got to do what the guy wants, you know.
Yeah, but look what he's doing in Pittsburgh.
Look what he's doing in Pittsburgh.
He's had a rebirth. He's exploding.
Here we are at this juncture, and I'm going to throw this at you. And I don't know if you've thought about it. If you didn't read my 10 takeaways, you don't know about this. But I'm going to throw it out here on this podcast. Buck fans may not like it, but reality bites. And we're all about reality. Lee?
All right, just a quick break here. I think I know where Ira is going next, and you're going to want to hear that for sure. We'll be back to him in just 1 minute. I want to remind you, Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. And Black Friday has already started. It is all month long at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. For example, 2019 Ford Ranger, brand new. They don't have many left. But after your Bill Curry discount, your factory rebate, your trade assistance, you can drive for just $22,417 or lease for $329 a month. There's 0% APR for 72 months available. Get to BillCurryFord.com to see that and many other offers for Black Friday, which is going, again, all month long. Very exciting. Bill Curry Ford, more than 60 years, really 60 years now, in Tampa as Tampa's first family of Ford. We're proud that they are part of us at joebucksfan.com, a great family, still family-owned, BillCurryFord.com. And if you missed the big 60th anniversary party at Pinchasers on Sunday, no problem. Every day is a party at Pin Chasers. Great daily specials. Friday night, cyber bowling. Bowl, dance, eat and drink with your friends and family. Great time. 2 hours of bowling is $14.29 for kids and $15.29 for adults. Shoes are always free. Fun, music, crazy lights. It's a great time on the lanes. Unlimited bowling starts at $16, and that's at 11 p.m. at the Tampa locations, 10 o'clock in East Pasco County. Again, shoes are always free. Pinchasers.net is the website. You can reserve a lane, get the fun started, and every day there's a daily special. So check them out there at pinchasers.net.
I don't have any problems with the way most of the Bucks played on Sunday. I like them in the trenches. They match the physicality of Seattle, which is always one of the more physical teams. But Lee, let's remember something going forward. They got some unbelievable breaks on Sunday. And I'm going to name three of them.
Seattle or the Bucks?
The Bucks. I'm going to name three of them. Bobby Wagner, who's a Pro Bowl linebacker, hits Winston going out of bounds on a third down incompletion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that reminded me of Levante David in the first game of that season, which was the lost season with Shiano. And the Bucks had that game won. And Levante David, of all people. I mean, it's the worst play Levante David's ever made as a Buck. Yeah. It cost him the game. Mm-hmm. And the guy kicked the field.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
That was the first game. It set the tone for that whole freaking season with the Mercer and everything.
Yeah.
All right, so Wagner hit. That's a four-point gaff.
Yeah.
Because that's a field goal, and Ronald Jones scored on the next snap.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number two, the ricochet. Let me say this. That's the only way Perriman can catch a ball. And two, and I think I'm right about this, the ball should have been intercepted. I think the guy should have picked it off.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, just knock it down.
Yeah.
And the Bucks get seven out of it. And the third one was the guy missed a 40-yard field goal, would have won the game right at the end. That's three huge breaks. Now,
and he still couldn't capitalize.
It still doesn't take away from the fact I thought the Bucks were ready to play. But in this case, Liam, you know how I hate to agree with you.
No.
The secondary, it is the major culprit and one of the only culprits on Sunday.
Yeah.
Boy, they dropped the ball literally and figuratively. shame on that secondary.
Well, you know what? I've not to change subjects, but I've been pretty harsh on Perriman. I thought the Bucks should have cut him. I'm going to guess, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess that Arians chewed his tail this past week because Perriman had a heck of a game Sunday. And I got to give the guy credit. I don't know what motivated him. I don't know if it was just luck or what, but he had a good game Sunday, and props to him. Props to him for showing up. And in a sense, He damn near saved that game with that crazy catch. That was a hustle play. He was in the right spot at the right time. He doesn't hustle. That's incompletion or worse.
You know, and I want to give some props, Lee. And you know I always gravitate towards these guys. And when they screw up, I mention it. And I thought they had a whale of a game. I thought the O-line played outstanding. And I thought the protection for Winston was very good most of the day. And Seattle blitzed a lot. Mm-hmm. And they got picked up. And I thought Winston had a comfortable pocket for most of the afternoon.
And the
blocking for the run was good too, especially that Jones opening touchdown. That was textbook blocking. Marpet, Jensen. I think Jensen's having a nice season. I really do.
How much do you think that was Kappa playing that they blocked so well? You know, they had their starting offensive line back.
We don't talk about Kappa, and I think that's a beautiful day for an offensive line.
Yeah, the less you talk about it, the better.
You know, I used to say he's a right tackle.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in the right spot at guard. Maybe
you know what? Ever since he finished that New Orleans game, and it was learned later that he finished with a broken arm, people have been giving him utmost respect. They're like, man, that's a warrior. That's
a
guy you
kid.
Want on your line. And I talked to him last week about that. He tried to poo-poo it. I didn't even know about it. It was the adrenaline. I'm out there just trying to do a good job. And you've talked to Captain before. He's one of these aw shucks kind of guys. He looks like a biker. He looks like he's going to bite your head off.
Yeah.
He's a teddy bear. He really is like an aw
really
shucks,
is.
You know. Oh, it's not me. You know, fends off. He gets embarrassed by compliments. You give him a compliment, he gets embarrassed.
You're absolutely right.
He gets embarrassed.
Right. He's a solid citizen. You're right. And he always likes to deflect the praise.
Yeah.
Lee, here's another personnel flaw, and I think it's a big one. And I love this guy as, you know, he might be my favorite guy in the team. And I would really miss him in the locker room because he's going to retire in a year or two. At 2-6, theoretically, it would be time to tell DeMar Dotson to take a seat. But you know what, Lee? They don't have a young guy to slide in there. And that's shameful.
Somebody you can groom
over the second half of the season.
And Arians talked about that in training camp. That's one thing he wasn't conning.
Where's the third tackle? Where is he?
I remember being about 5 feet away from Arians when he said flat out, "We're not developing any young tackles." I'll never forget that.
This is a perfect time to tell DeMar you're going to split time or whatever.
I don't disagree, but I just thought of this just now. I don't think that's going to happen. Though it should.
It's not going to happen because they don't have anybody to groom.
Well, that's part of the reason. I still believe that Jameis Winston's in a trial stage.
Fair enough.
So the reason why I say they won't bench is not the right word. They won't sit Dotson.
You want to give him the optimum chance.
Yes.
Right?
If he's getting rushed, if he's getting flushed out of the pocket time and again because no one's blocking on the right side, can you get a fair assessment? So that's why I think that's
But the
it.
Fact remains they don't have a young tackle.
No, they don't. While we touch this subject, this came up again in Peter King's column Monday morning. He talked about this on Russo about four weeks ago, before Jameis had those two horrific games back-to-back. King is still of the mind, still believes he's going to get a two-year bridge contract. Bridge to what? I don't know. But King is still leaning toward that. Your take.
All right, I'll give you my take. From a Buck perspective, I've been very clear about this. You either give him the 120 mil or you move on. And I'm sticking with that. And that applies to a franchise tag also. I'm not kicking the can down the road after 5 years.
Exact words that King used. Kick the can.
Kick the can. Now, from a Winston perspective, here's the part I don't think King's thinking about enough. Lee, I don't think it's crazy for Winston's camp. Maybe, with some justification, maybe, to think that if he hits the free agent market, he can cash in. There's teams that are looking for a quarterback.
I can only think of one off the top of my head.
Winston's got some numbers, personal numbers. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards this year, too. He might think he can get a long-term contract in free agency.
I can only think of one team that would want.
Who are you thinking about?
Bears.
That's not bad.
That's the only team I could think of. Now, our friend Sean Sullivan said that, the general manager, Bill Curry Ford, our good friend, Sean is convinced there'd be half dozen teams that would be all over Jameis. He said the thought process.
Maybe a Denver.
Possibly. But, you know, that's right, because Elway likes him. I just thought of that. I've talked to Elway. One of the perks about this job, you get to talk to guys you grew up watching.
Nice.
And I've talked to
He's
Elway.
He's getting a lot of heat in Denver.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've talked to Elway. Elway likes Winston.
Elway likes him. Now, the flip side is, what's Elway done about the quarterback situation since Manning retired? So Winston might be another mistake. I don't know. But
didn't you always say Chucky had his eye on him? Derek Carr's not a bad quarterback. He's not bad.
No, but you know what? That was so obvious. I forgot about that. Yeah, I you love when I say this. Chucky has never met a quarterback he didn't like until he played for him. And I can just imagine Chucky drooling over Jameis. Because I just think Jameis would actually work better in a West Coast offense. The stats show that when he gets outside the pocket, he's dangerous.
He is.
And that just tells me he'd be better in a West Coast offense rather than an Eric Coryell offense. Chucky's a West Coast kind of guy. Chucky, maybe Denver, Chicago, I'm thinking. But who else? Jacksonville, maybe? Maybe? I don't know.
Washington. I mean, who knows if they don't? Well, if Haskins doesn't work out.
That would be awful abrupt, wouldn't it?
But you think Winston's camp would welcome that kind of a bridge deal? It's debatable.
You know, those two games earlier this year when he was pathetic. If he has another one or two more of those, he may not have any choice. It's like, well, you know, the Bucs are going to give me some kind of starting money. I won't get it elsewhere.
Now all of a sudden, Lee, we have a new name in the tent in terms of Jameis Winston. Buck fans have heard the Andy Dalton rumors. Now, one thing that I don't think has gotten enough attention in this story, which could be a non-story, I believe they'd have to trade for him. He's under contract for next year. Okay. He's under contract. Now, they're not going to ask for a number one because they ain't going to get it.
If they're not going to trade for a cornerback, are they going to trade for Andy Dalton?
There you go.
Come on.
Number two, Lee, I think it's, again, I think it's kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
He's okay. I'm not sure he's better than Winston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you think he's better than Winston.
I don't think so either. Remember, you and I were going at it a couple weeks ago as we were wont to do when Winston came. We were actually pretty friendly talking about Winston for a change. And I said, what do you think, Andy Dalton's going to do any better? And look what happened. Now Andy Dalton's rumored to the
Cubs. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, Lee. Now, some people are saying, well, it could be Arians' version of Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that.
You know what? I'm going to spill some beans here. Fans always say...
I like it when you spill beans.
Fans always say they want me to out a source. Now, I'm not going to out the source, but I'm going to spill some beans.
Well, say I'm your source, and you can out me.
There now, the very same day, I had an NFL general manager tell me about Arians coming to the Bucs. This general manager looked me right in the eyes, and he said, Jameis is in good hands now. The very same day, I had a former Bucs defensive coach. Former. Keyword, former. Assistant coach. Defense. He didn't like Jameis. And he told me that kid Dalton in Cincinnati is better.
Dalton to me is okay. That's my adjective. Can the Bucks live with okay? I don't want to live with okay.
They technically have okay now, but it's a roller coaster with Jameis. You're the highest of highs and lowest of lows.
And Jameis is quite a bit younger, I think, than Dalton.
Dalton's 32, isn't he?
And Dalton doesn't have a ceiling. I mean, where's the ceiling? How good can he be?
Well, see, and I think I've mentioned this in your podcast once. The worst thing I can say about Jameis, he's the ultimate tease. He shows you what he can be.
Just like he did on Sunday.
Yeah. He shows you what he can be. And he also shows you what you don't want him to be. It sort of reminds me, and I think if I could speak for Jason Light, and I'm sorry, Jason, if you're listening, I apologize up front. But Whitey Herzog, I mean, I don't worship any coach in any sport more than Whitey Herzog. Love Whitey Herzog. And luckily, we got to develop a friendship, but certainly a relationship. He was a great guy. And the story I heard about Whitey Herzog, the Cardinals used to have a relief pitcher, a closer, by the name of Todd Worrell. He was a great, big, huge dude. And
big right-hander.
Yeah, big right-hander. When it was draft day, they were drafting. In a baseball draft, lasts 3 days. Well, they're sitting around a conference room. Herzog, of course, was running the Cardinals at the time. And his, you know, Herzog, somehow or another, Todd Worrell's name came up. And all the Herzog scouts and his assistants, no, you don't want him, you don't want him. Herzog, why? And he wanted input. Why should we not draft this guy? Oh, he's wilder than an owl. He can't hit the broadside of a barn. And Herzog said, well, he throws 95 miles an hour. Oh, you don't want him, he's wild. And Herzog said, you know what? We can't teach a kid to throw 95, but we could teach him control, draft him. And that's where I think the Bucs are with Winston. They see what he can do, and they know that type of talent is rare to find. So they don't want to. They're loath to give up on him, even though he gives you ample reasons to give up on him.
That's not bad, Lee. You know, the more I try to take the overview, I mean, We're so numb. Here we are, they're 2-6. Here we are. They're 2-6. Yeah. Now, Arians has never been here before.
No, he's not.
They've already matched the number of losses he had his first year in Arizona. He went 10-6, inherited a 5-11 team. This guy's looking at another 5-11, you know, if he's lucky.
Yeah, if he's lucky.
You know, now the second half schedule isn't too bad, I understand. But they haven't established anything at home. Who are the Bucks at home? They haven't shown they can win a home game.
Not since Simeon Rice was around. You know,
What the heck happened since the second half of that Giants game? This defense has taken an incredible tailspin. Look, they can't stop anybody Giants since the second half of the Giants game. Week three.
Yeah, week three. I think we were, I don't know why you used the word conned, misled. And no, I'm not talking about anybody at One Buck Place. We thought Cam Newton was Cam Newton. As it turned out, Cam Newton had a bad wing. So he couldn't
pass. The win over Carolina, you
was
know,
sort of a mirage.
Yeah, because Newton couldn't throw the ball, which is proven out because they made the change.
Kind of a mirage.
And guess what? They're 5-1 since they made the change with a backup quarterback.
Now, the stat geeks, believe it, they can't stand this guy, this Allen. They say he fumbles, he does this, he does that. They can't stand him, but he's winning games.
He's managing the game.
Yeah, he's winning games.
Well, their defense is a lot better than the Buck defense.
Yeah.
A lot better. And they got McCaffrey.
Well, the secondary is better. You know, honestly, the first few levels of the Bucs defense, I think they're top 10.
And speaking of that, Devin White's starting to show up, Lee.
Yeah, he's starting to show up.
He had 12 tackles Sunday.
I was happy to say it. Now, the other Joe, JoeBucksFan.com, he's quick to point out he made quite a few errors.
So what? He's a rookie. So what?
He's a rookie, but at least he's showing some signs that, okay, this is why he was a
hack. He made a hell of a hustle play. Going downfield. That was a great play.
But I've been anti-Devin White more than Steve has because, you know, we went
about... No, you're not anti-Devin White. You just wanted a pass rusher.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm not anti-Devin White. I hope the guy blows up. I hope he succeeds. Hope he becomes a Hall of Famer because he's with the Bucs now. I just wanted a different position drafted at number 5. If the Bucs would have traded back to number 10, okay, I'm all right with the middle linebacker then. But, you know, it's starting to show signs why he was drafted that high. And anytime a Bucs player is drafted, I don't care what position, who he is, once he signs his contract, I hope he has a Hall of Fame career. Because that means the Bucs will probably be winning.
Levante's playing good football.
Yeah. What's new?
Yeah, he's so consistent.
Yeah.
He is so consistent.
And people are starting to notice him again because he's got people around him. You know, yes, the secondary, we've gone over that. But I'll say it again. I said it just a few seconds ago. The first two levels of this Bucs defense, top 10 in the NFL, I believe. They got a pass rush. It's that there was a stat that NFL Films came out with. If you combine pressures, hits, and sacks, the Bucs are number 10 in the NFL. And I have to believe that was largely because JPP catapulted them into the number 10. And we saw Sunday, they got pressure on Wilson.
Is anybody playing decent in the back? Whitehead, anybody?
I guess at times when Hargraves is paying nickel, okay.
Boy, that's a stretch.
I guess. Jordan Whitehead doesn't get embarrassed. Now, I wouldn't say he's Deion Sanders in coverage.
He'll stick you.
Oh, yes, he'll stick you. He makes, you know he's on the field. Let's put it that way. So, he's playing decently. He's playing very good against the run, but overall decently. Like I said, he's not Deion Sanders. He's not Ronnie Lott. And by the way, I saw that Ronnie Lott documentary Friday night. I forgot about, and I knew he was a hitter. What a ferocious hitter. He was like LT as a safety. He really was.
Probably the best safety of our time.
Oh my gosh, that guy is just intense.
Now, he was a corner and a safety.
Yeah.
He played both.
Yeah, he started losing a couple steps.
I think
he started
as a corner and he moved into
safety. He got a Super Bowl ring as a rookie corner.
You know, speaking of young secondary, did you know that the 81 49ers, which was the beginning of the dynasty, mm-hmm. and that was the year of the Dwight Clark catch, mm-hmm. their first Super Bowl.
You covered that game.
And I covered that game. Did you know that they had at least three rookies in their secondary?
Williamson, Eric Wright from Missouri, and Ronnie Lott. Because in that same documentary, Walsh was talking about how horrible their secondary was. and there's, you know, I can hear Bucks fans screaming. And I hear your pleas. That's why the Bucks better go out and get a couple free agents in the secondary. The Bucks have spent, if you count Vernon Hargraves, which is 4 years ago, in the last 4 years, they've spent 7 picks in the first 3 rounds.
That's outstanding.
On defensive backs.
Premium picks.
And where are they?
It's hard to misfire that many times. Now we're not going to weigh in on Mike Edwards yet. I mean,
yeah, it's a little too soon for that. But the fact that the secondary is this bad and you spent that much draft capital on the defensive backs, it tells me 2 things. Number 1, to strike out that many times,
I mean, not even get a hit. Well, okay. I guess maybe Carlton Davis is okay.
Whitehead?
Well, that's
He wasn't even a premium pick.
Yeah, he wasn't a top three pick. Tells me the template the organization has for
that's
determining defensive
backs.
That's
defense a good backs.
Word,
DeKemper. What's
very,
that? Very nice
oh,
word.
Oh, okay.
Template.
Template they have is something wrong with it.
Their evaluation process.
I don't know if it's evaluation, but their template. Because, you know, they have templates every position. What they're looking for in attributes, what they're not looking for as far as negatives.
Now, wait a minute. You got to think Bowles had a big voice in picking some DBs this year.
I don't know that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know that. I'll give you an idea of a template. And I think I could say this. I don't think this is any secret.
You draft for a scheme, though, Lee. You draft for the scheme that your coaches want to
run. You do, but there's physical traits you look for as well.
Okay.
As well as mental traits. Now, here's a perfect example. Jason Light loves players with personalities. Loves them. You know, I read Peter King's columns Monday morning, where he talked about Hebert, the quarterback for Oregon. I can't think of his first name. Jacob, that's the quarterback for Washington. But Hebert.
A lot of people are down on him right now.
What, Hebert? Well, apparently he's not an alpha male. And I wrote in a story, I wrote about this today on JoeBucksFan.com, that cross him off Light's list. If you don't have a personality, Light doesn't want you. Unless you're a low graphic. His philosophy is, and he learned this from Belichick, that a guy with an alpha male personality is more likely to max out his talents than a guy with a passive personality. Because that alpha personality is more likely to live and die in a weight room. And that's one reason why Jameis Winston was so attractive to Light and to a lesser degree Lovey. Because he had that personality. And all know
Mariota did not. And Mariota did not.
Yeah, Mariota turned him off. They thought, and I won't say anybody else, but you know, Jason has told me some other players that he's passed on the draft. That specifically he was turned off by the personality or lack thereof. They were wallflowers. And they were quiet. He didn't like them. And so that's an example of a template. What Jason or other teams look for, they have a template. And with the Bucs, one of the templates is personality. What kind of personality do you have? And Light said he learned that from Belichick. That more often than not, an alpha male personality is going to max out his talent than a guy with a ho-hum attitude.
Well, I got to say, based on 5 years of looking back, maybe you should have taken some other lessons from Belichick, too. Lee, we're going to wrap up this podcast. And
I got to ask you one other thing.
We will be back later in the week to talk more about the finally returning home, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And don't sleep on the Cardinals. They're not that bad. Not that bad.
Shad Khan, owner of the Jaguars, he made a comment that it was on Jaguars.com, their website, that Jacksonville cannot support an eight home game schedule.
This sounds like the Rays revisited over here with the 81.
And that's why they're playing in London. He said that. They can't support.
What a message to your fan base.
Well, my next question is, and he specifically cited lack of sellouts. You know where I'm going with this.
Keep going.
That's one of your favorite subjects is Pete butts in the seats. You always talk about that with Russo. Russo's hung up on TV listings or TV ratings. You're hung up on butts in the seats.
But I know what you're going to say. It's not that big a factor in your bottom line, and I can't argue with you.
Well, with the Bucks, that's what I'm getting at. And I know the Glazers have constantly said, we're not moving, we're not going to London, and they just did have upgrades to the stadium. But if Shad Khan is saying this openly, on his own website, that the area in Jacksonville cannot economically support the Jaguars for 8 regular season home games. That's why he's taking them abroad.
That's a hell of an assertion from an NFL owner.
Yeah, wow. But I mean, okay, look at the Bucs. We know that they're struggling to sell seats. That's mainly because this has been a losing franchise for going on 12 years now.
Well,
is there any connection there?
I'll tell you what it tells me, first of all, is there ain't going to be nobody in the house Sunday. I'm sorry to say it. But Arizona doesn't travel, and when you and I walk in the press entrance, we're not going to see, you know, Kyler Murray jerseys. It's not going to happen. This is not the Chicago Bears coming to town, or New England, or New Orleans even, or the Giants or Jets, mm-hmm. certainly. So you're not getting those 10,000 people. Lee, I'm afraid to look out at the crowd this Sunday. I think it could be really bad. It's a 2-6 team coming home, apathy, sweeping. Now, your bigger question, I think, is does it matter that much to the Glazers? Does it matter much to the franchise? I think it's a fair question because you make a bundle in the NFL no matter who shows up mm-hmm. through that turnstile.
And
that's
just
part
back
of the problem,
yeah.
I think.
Just to back up what you were going to say, you thought I was going to cite this right away. I didn't.
But there was a study done in the last couple of years. Kyle Brandt of SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com, he had a link to it, but it was a paper link. So I was going to pay $18 just to get one fact. But apparently the NFL has cited, I don't know where they got the records from, but the NFL gate receipts, ticket sales, that makes up 16%
wow.
of the gross revenue.
Wow.
So it's a TV league. That's where they're getting their money, TV, internet, property sales mean gear.
Merchandise.
Yes, merchandise.
That's a problem. I don't think that's the NFL should be proud of that. I think fan attendance should be linked to the financial success of a team. That's not the way it is. That's just not the way it is.
And that's why they got rid of blackouts.
I don't think the NFL is unique in that. Baseball's getting that way. And the Rays TV attendance is good.
TV ratings are good.
So our ratings are good too, Lee. Our ratings are pretty good. I want to thank
everybody for listening. Make sure on Iris Pod, I don't care if it's iTunes, I don't care if it's Google Play.
Podbean.
You're still one of the masters of Google Play. Just leave a comment. Leave a comment and tell them how much you like Ira. Or if you want to, tell them how much I stink.